Word of God, please, and turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. As we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word, 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. Begin reading in verse number 19. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse number 19. Paul, of course, writing to the church at Corinth, his second letter that we have recorded. And this is what he says in this opening chapter. He says, "For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ, and he, and hath anointed us, is God, who hath also sealed us, and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul, that to spare you I came not as yet unto Corinth. Not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith you stand." And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, I want you to underline that last phrase, "for by faith ye stand." And I'd like to preach on that thought today. Father, we thank you for loving us. I thank you, Lord, for how our hearts have already been blessed and moved, Lord, by the music that brings honor unto thee. Lord, now as we look into thy word, I pray that you'll add your blessing to the reading of it. And then, Lord, I pray that you'll anoint the preaching of it. And Lord, I pray that you'll open the hearts, the minds, the ears of the hearers of it. Lord, today I pray that we'll be moved to serve you in a greater way. Lord, I pray that we'll have a desire to live for Jesus Christ, to bring others to thee. Lord, to be a living testimony of your marvelous grace. Lord, I pray thy word will prick our hearts today. Anoint your messenger and hide me, Lord, behind the cross. Lord, when we go out, I pray that we'll know what a great God we have. And Lord, that I'll decrease, but you'll increase. And Lord, that we'll tell the world about Jesus. For we pray these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And amen. Thank you. Please be seated. For by faith, you stand. If we were to go back into the book of Acts, we're going to read about some great men. We've been talking about some of these men in our Sunday school hour. But to think about Stephen. And Stephen was the first deacon of the early church, one of the first deacons of the early church, and he was chosen because he was a man that was full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. If you remember the story, Stephen was called before a council, before the council concerning his faith, and when he was brought to the high priest, they asked, "Are these things so?" Because he was such a strong man of faith, or a man of strong faith, may I say. And he had his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they wanted to know what this faith life was all about. And Stephen, if you'll go back and read the story in the book of Acts, you're going to find out that Stephen started at Abraham and he ended with Calvary. He spoke with such power, the Bible says, they could not bear to hear it. But they found out what it was all about. He knew what his faith was about. He had an understanding of what his belief was all about and who his faith was in. And when he was called to before this council of men, before this council of religious people, and asked concerning his faith, he had an answer for it. I think about Paul. Paul was brought, as we even said this morning in our Sunday school hour, about before Felix and Festus. And they wanted to know the same thing. They wanted to know about his faith, about why he was preaching what he was preaching, about the things that he was doing. The churches that were being started. All they had heard about Paul and the Christian life, it was a mystery to them, and they wanted to know what it was all about. And Paul, who's known as the great apostle of faith, began to reason with them, the Bible says, about righteousness and temperance and judgment to come. When he was through, I want you to know, they knew what it was all about. We even brought old Agrippa, as we talked about this morning, in. And he said, "Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." There's so many that's at that almost point. point. But dear friends, we need to know what our faith is about. We need to have an understanding of this. There are too many people that's out there wondering and drifting and wondering, what is my faith about? What is my life all about? Can we, with a pure conscience and with a clear conscience and with a ready understanding, can we give an account to men for the hope that is so readily available within us? What is the hope? My Bible says Christ in you, the hope of glory. Our hope is Christ. We sing the song, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness. So what is this hope? What is this faith? What is it that we're all about? Well, the Bible says, for by faith ye stand. The world, the people that are not saved, those unbelievers today, they're taking a look at the church, at believers or so-called believers, about the life they live, the testimony that they bear, and they're asking the same question, what is it all about? Look, people at your work and people in your neighborhood and people in your family may know that you claim to be a person of faith, but do they know what that faith is all about? Have you shared your faith with them? Have you let them know who your faith is in and what this faith is doing for you? Well, I want you to know there's an answer for it. It's not in the behavior of men. Always, we can see that. We can see our hope and faith in our behavior sometimes. But if we're going to give the right answer, I believe the answer is from the Bible. And when every man has failed, God's word will always stand true. When everybody that claims to be a person of faith, every person that may make their mistakes and mess up and may fall, of course we know they can't fall from grace and never lose their salvation, but they may fall in their testimony. People need to know that their faith is in the Lord, and that while men may fail, God never fails. Never. He never fails. And here in these few verses of Scripture that we've read, we read about the Son of God, Jesus Christ, was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus. Was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. And then he begins to tell what this faith is all about. And I want you to look this morning. I want you to see the established believer. Notice verse 21. Now he which establishes us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. I hope I don't have to say that too many more times. Now he which establisheth us, that's good, with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. You have a lot of people that are false professors today. You have a lot of what we call Sunday Christians. You know, people in the world that make fun of Sunday Christians. Go to church on Sunday and live like the devil on Monday. Have we not seen a lot of people like that? I hope you're not one of those. I don't believe we have many of those in here, in our church, in our congregation, but certainly you never know what people do. But there are a lot of religious hypocrites. But I want you to know the person that has put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and has experienced the saving grace of God is one that is being established in the things of God. They're established in the Word of God. They're not one, I know there has to be the time for growth. And I know that when somebody first gets saved, they're a babe in Christ. They don't understand everything about doctrine. They don't understand everything there is about the Word of God. But I tell you, dear friends, if you truly have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you have a desire to know about the Word of God. You don't want to be one of those that drift from one thing to the next, week after week after week after week. You know what I'm saying? You understand what I'm talking about? Is there are people that they just change from week to week, But what we need to do is we need to be established in the Word of God. We need to be consistent through the Word of God. We don't need to believe one thing this week and then another thing next week and then go back to believing the other thing. We need to find out what the Bible has to say about it. When people are asking about the hope that is within us, we need to tell them that we have been established by the Word of God, that we have an understanding that we're going to heaven, not because of who we are and because of what we've done, but because of who He is and what He's done. what he did on the cross of Calvary and what he's doing in our lives and what he did the day that we put our faith in him. Dear friends, I want you to know, people need to know, the hope that is within us is because of Jesus Christ in us. Not because I'm a member of East Live New Baptist Church. By the way, I believe everybody ought to be a member of a local New Testament Bible-believing, Bible-preaching Baptist church. Now, I just happen to believe that. I thought I would share that with you. And I thought that was a very good place to share that with you. But being a member of this church is not the hope that you have. But Christ is our hope. And we've been established, the Bible says, he which establisheth us with us with you in Christ hath anointed us as God. So he's establishing us. He is establishing us. He is putting us on a firm foundation. He has given us something to build our lives on. We need to be established in our convictions. Not one to harp about one thing that is wrong and then go out and do other things that are even worse. You know, I hear some people that, man, they think this is terrible. You know? They strain at a gnat and swallow a camel or whatever. I can't think of it. You understand what I'm saying? We get so caught up. Look, we need to be established. We need to let the Word of God determine the path for our life. We talk about, you know, where I worked at, my secular job that I worked at for several years, and it was a great place to work. And I don't regret a day. I loved it. I worked there. It's a great place. But they had career paths. Boy, they emphasized that career path. And, you know, when you're in a job like that, you need to get in a path and work towards that. If that's where you're going to be working at, I understand that. I really do. But I believe we need to be on God's path, and he'll put us on the right career path. Does that make sense? We need to understand that God has a plan for our life. But we need to get established in these things. We need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and let him grow us. And we need to be established about things. I have the conviction that a career is determined by God and not by us. I have a conviction that me being a preacher is not determined by me, it's determined by God. But I had the desire to do it. You know? Today, do you desire the things of God? Well, get established in the Word of God. Get established in your convictions. Get established about the church. We need some people to understand that this church is here for their good. This body of believers, God has given us the building, but he's given us the church, which are the people, to help build us up in the faith. We need each other. I need you. And you need me, whether you like it or not. Some people don't like it. Well, I'll just tell you to get over it, you know? You remember Brother Wes Bailey? His little boy named Timon. Y'all remember Timon? He's crazy, man. That little old boy, he got off the airplane, and he said, "Boy, it sure is good to be in Tampa, Florida." It was just funny. I'd hear it for a little kid. We went out to eat, and I did my usual thing. I was getting in, and I hit the table, and he had a thing of macaroni and cheese, and that macaroni and cheese just went right over on the floor. Well, Brother Wes wasn't right there at that time, and so I was sitting over here, and Timon was sitting over here, and the waitress comes up, and she says, "Oh, did spill it?" And I said, "Oh, I knocked it off, you know." And she said, "Did your daddy knock it off?" He said, "We're just friends. Let's leave it at that." Well, they had a preacher, and a very well-known preacher, in their church up in North Carolina. And when they had this preacher, they were watching a ball game on TV. You know how it is when you watch ball games. That's why I don't like to talk about ball games. I'm so competitive. When my team loses, I don't want to talk about it. When my team wins, I'll be honest with you, I don't talk about it. Not in church on Sunday. There's a reason for that, you know, because somebody else's team lost, and I don't want to rub it in. I want to rub it in. I want to rub it in, but I try not to, you know. And every now and then I will. But it's been a standing rule of mine, and every now and then I mess up, and I'll say something that I don't talk about football or because football's the greatest sport in all the world. So, yeah. But anyway, trying not to talk about it too much. But they were watching something, and something happened, and this preacher was sitting there, this very well-known preacher, and he was upset that this happened. Well, Timon looked at that preacher, and he said, "Hey, build a bridge and get over it." Brother West said, "I didn't know what to do." So here I am, I'm your pastor. He said, "I don't like it." "Well, just build a bridge and get over it. Because God put me here, you know? We need to be established about the church. God called me to pastor. I'm the pastor. God's put you in this place. You need to put your life and influence into this place. Don't be one of those that just make their way here every now and then. Be one of those that says, "I love my church. My church needs me, and I'm in my church, and I'm going to get in, and I'm going to help be the foundation of a moving of God in my church and in my community and in my city and in my state and in my world." We need to have the right convictions about the church. We need to get established in this. See, when you get established about the church, you don't try to hurt the church by gossip. And you don't try to hurt the church by the life that you live. You understand what I'm saying? You know, don't go out and do things that's detrimental to the cause of Christ and bring harm upon the church. We need to be established. Well, how do we do it? By faith. We walk by faith. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. So we see the established believer. You're not going to find a person in church on Sunday acting religious than out in the places of the world during the week that's truly established in the things of God. Now, you may be a babe in Christ and you may be a new Christian, but I usually find out that those that are babes in Christ and new Christians, they're usually doing more for God than those that have been in the church a while. They have such a hunger and a desire to do the right things, you know. But then we just let it cool down. Don't let it cool down. Do what it takes to keep it fired up. Man, I'm telling you, do what it takes to keep it stirred up in your life. Boys, we want to see a believer that's established. Then we see the sealed believer. The sealed believer. This is how we do it. They said, ask Stephen, ask Paul, "What is the hope? Tell us about your faith." And we started telling them. They didn't want to hear it. But let's not back down. We see the sealed believer. Notice what the Bible says in verse 22. "Who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts." A question that's asked a lot of times is about the person that has served the Lord, but now they're away from the Lord. What about them? What about those? Person that you're thinking of at one time was a leader. Really talked about the Lord, and now they're not doing the same things. Well, I want you to know this. You listen to me. If there was a day in the life of that person where they put their faith in Jesus Christ, they were sealed. They're on their way to heaven. You cannot lose your salvation. Salvation's not in anything you did. Salvation is in what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. And salvation is a covenant between God the Father and God the Son. And the day that you're saved, the Holy Spirit puts you in that covenant and He seals you. You see? The only way for you to lose your salvation is for God the Father, God the Son, or God the Spirit to break their part of the covenant. Because salvation is not of works, but it's by grace through faith. Pretty good, huh? Well, what about those people? Look, isn't it a sad thing to know that God has saved you out of hell, promised you a home up in heaven, promised to give you everything you need to live in life, and then you to turn around as one of His children and turn your back on Him? That's a sad thing, isn't it? There's some people the Bible says is going to go to heaven. This is my term, it's not Bible term, by the skin of their teeth. By grace, we understand. But they're going to go to heaven with no rewards. But they're sealed. If they're saved, they're sealed.
Now, I believe there are a lot of people out there that are false professors that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. They made a profession of faith, but they've never truly put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. John was writing the book of 1 John, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he said that they were not of us. They left us. And I believe that's the case. There's a lot of people that just get caught up in all the emotions. But one that has truly put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ have been sealed. We can't be so busy worrying about them and wondering about that person, you know, and trying to look at them and say, well, you know, they say they're saved and look at them. Well, yeah, look, don't worry about them. This salvation is between you and the Lord. It's not determined by what somebody else does or does not do. It's determined by what do you do with the Lord Jesus Christ. By faith you stand. You're sealed. Not only do we see the established believer and the sealed believer, I want you to see the spared believer. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 23. The Bible says, moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul, that to spare you I came not yet as unto Corinth. Now, Paul was going to come to Corinth. There were all kinds of problems. Corinth. This was a church that had all kinds of problems. And if Paul would have come, I'm telling you, he would have set it in order. You see, you've heard me preach a few sermons that may be a little bit rough. But if Paul were preaching today, most of you would either run out or you'd fall on your face. Because Paul would preach with such authority. And by the way, I have the same authority, God's Word. But of course, God used Paul to pen these words. But here's the fact. Paul, he would come in. He knew that if he had come in at that time, God spared those people from Paul coming in and saying what he needed to say to the church. Because God's long-suffering. Isn't it wonderful? Aren't you glad God is long-suffering? You know what? What if when we sinned, God just said, all right, psst, you're out of here. He's long-suffering, isn't he? See, God loves us. And we see right here, he says, I called God for record of my soul that to spare you I came not yet unto Corinth. Here's another truth every unsaved person needs to understand about the believer, though. Nobody is perfect. Now, that may come as a shock to some of you who think you are. But none of us are. None of us are perfect. And if we received what we deserve today, we'd all be in hell. Every last one of us. But God is long-suffering. And He spares us such punishment. Paul's telling his church that he should come to them and just lay that spiritual whip upon them. But because of his love for them, because of Paul's love for them, say, I'm not coming yet. You know, I want you to get these things right. And God loves His children and He spares us from what we deserve. When we're disobedient and when we're rebellious, you can be sure that God will chasten us and He'll get us back in line. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter number 12, verse number 6, He says, whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. You know what the Bible says? That as a child of God, that God will take us out to the Holy Ghost woodshed and He'll lay on us a whooping. Right? Now, if you're a Yankee, you call it a spanking. But this is a whooping. You ought to hear Tony Hudson tell about the whoopings his daddy gave him. It's the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life. A whooping. I'm telling you, He takes you out and He gives you what you need. Does He do it because He hates you? But because He loves you. See, that's the spared believer. We're saved. When we're saved, we have eternal life. Just as sure as I'm standing here, heaven's going to be my home. Have I lived a perfect life since I've been saved? I'm ashamed to tell you no. But I'd be more ashamed to tell you that I have because you know I'd be lying. I've not lived a perfect life. But the hand of God has had to come down in my life more than once. Not because He hated me, but because He loved me. See, that's the spared believer. We see that. You know, we wonder what it's all about. And when we look at some people that say they're saved, and we observe them. But you can learn from this passage of Scripture that God spares the believers. He seals us and He spares us. Now, how many of you are getting a spanking? Or a whooping? I just about called it by the wrong thing, didn't I? A whooping. How many of you like that? How many don't like, how many remembers when you were a child getting a whooping? Some of you never, some of you young people never raised your, if you're not getting whoopings, there's something wrong with you. Because I know all of you didn't raise your hand, and y'all deserved it every once in a while. Now, how many of you never had a whooping? You better not raise your hand. Everybody here has had a whooping. Some of you have not had anything, I can tell. How many liked, out of all of you that raised your hand, that you've had one, how many of you said, boy, I loved it. Woohoo, I want another one. You know? Nobody? Look. How many of you ever had to give a whipping? Did you enjoy it? I never one time enjoyed giving my child a whipping. Never. Not one time. And I promise you, God doesn't enjoy it when He has to take us out to the woodshed. But He loves us enough to do it. And every time that I had to correct my child, it wasn't because I hated them. It wasn't because I wanted to spank them, but it was because I loved them. Aren't you glad that we have a God that spares us? See, by faith we stand. And even when we get out of line, God brings us back in line. It's wonderful. So the world says, what is it about this faith? You say, well, I've been established in the things of God. He saved me. I'm building my life on a firm foundation. I have the Word of God. I have convictions. I have my church. Well, tell us a little bit more about your faith. Well, let me tell you about it. I've been sealed. The Holy Spirit of God has sealed me, and He has made sure of my safe passage through. Well, tell me a little bit more about it. Well, even though I'm guaranteed safe passage through, I still make my mistakes. And I get out of line. I do things, and in all honesty, if sin brings forth death, that, you know, sin is sin and deserves to die, but God spares me because of my faith in Him. Well, tell me a little bit more about it. Well, all I can tell you is I stand by faith. We see the established believer, we see the sealed believer, we see the spared believer, but I want you to see the standing believer. Notice what the Bible says. Verse 24, not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy. For by faith ye stand. The question is asked sometimes, and we even ask ourselves the question, how can anyone live right in the day that we're living? Look, there is unrest on every hand. There's unrest in society. There's unrest in the government. There's unrest in our morals. The St. Pete Times yesterday, I read it. Every time I read it, I find something that makes me realize why I don't want to read it. Tampa Tribune the same way. I'm not endorsing one over there. It's just, they endorse things there that really makes me sick. And they had this big article, a positive article, about Ybor City, and they've got the Western District, it's going to be called Gaybor. And they're promoting this. They have 5 gay bars, and they have a whole 27 businesses that are coming together to incorporate this. And they're partnering with Philadelphia. They've got a firm that advertises in Philadelphia. There's I wish I could remember that. It says, make your day life this, but make your night life gay. That was their theme. It's sickening.
It's absolutely sickening. And they were bragging about what they're doing and how the rest of Ebor seems to be falling down, but this part is flourishing. Reminds you of a city called Sodom? Remind you? And I look and I say, oh my Lord, what's going on? Had some pictures of people lined up to go into it. It made me sick. Look, they say they're peaceful and kind people. No, they are vile and wretched, dear friends. You say, well, you know, you don't know who they are. I'm going to tell you something. They have an agenda, and they are after people, and they are recruiting your young people. They're in your schools. They're in your workplace. They're everywhere. And don't you let them kid you. They are absolutely going after our society. They're doing it. How do we live with such things? How do we live when I turn on the news and I see not too far over somebody gets shot? You go on and you look up crime tractors on your computer and you begin to find out that all around you, and by the way, it's not just right here, it's where you live. That all around you there are criminals and sexual offenders and sexual predators. How do you live when you see the government which don't know what to do? Look, our government is so confused, and it's no wonder we're in the mess we're in. The world government is confused. How do you make it? For by faith you stand. When Paul was in prison, he was there because God put him there. Some of you try to run from your problems. Why don't by faith you stand? Why don't by faith you stand? You know? Oh, I understand bettering yourself and moving from one community to the other. I'm going to tell you something, though. You ought never move and get away from this church unless God puts you in another church. Because this is where God placed you. You ought to be here. You know, I said, well, boy, you know, it's tough. We're in a tough neighborhood. Most of you don't live in it. I do. It's not that tough. As a matter of fact, I found some of the kindest people I've ever met in my life that walks up and down these sidewalks. And I found some of the strangest people in my life. But you know what they all need? Jesus. They all need Jesus. So how are you going to stand? Sometimes I look around and I say, Lord, get me back to Tennessee. When you look and you see all that's happening. But then, right down the street from where I lived up there, there was a robbery. They're still looking for the people that robbed. Drugstore right down the street. People been killed not too far down the road, right close to the church where my mom and dad goes. Where David Powers pastors. It's right up the street. Somebody killed right on the corner. You know? So how do we make it? You see, problems are all around, and it doesn't matter where you go, you're going to find them. And they're going to find you. So what do you do? Well, by faith, you stand. Be established. Realize you're sealed. Understand that you're spared. But then by faith, stand. Paul said, I love this verse, this last verse of this chapter. He says, not for that we have dominion over your faith, but listen to this, but our helpers of your joy. When you're standing by faith, there's joy in your life. He says, I'm reminding you of this. I'm helping your joy out. See, joy isn't determined by happiness, by happenings. Happiness is determined by happenings. Joy is determined by Jesus and having Him in your life. It's a hard day and there's evil around us, but stand by faith. Faith that God's word is true. Faith that God will never fail. Faith that we have a better place to go, and faith that there's grace for every need. So when the world is asking these questions, and people are needing to know these answers, just tell them what the Bible has to say. Well, I'm built on the right foundation, established. I've been placed into the family of God. I've been sealed. I've been placed there by the Holy Spirit of God. I've made my mistakes, but God loves me so much that He spanks me and He gets me in line. He corrects me. He spares me. So I've just determined I'm going to stand by faith on these things. Because there's no greater foundation than God's Word. For by faith you stand. Let's bow forward to prayer. Father, we thank you for loving us. I thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us. There is no doubt, Lord, this message was for everyone that was here. Parts of it for some, parts of it.